Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Jeff Robinson. Excited about the show today. Have an interesting gentleman by the name of Dave Chisholm. He wrote a graphic novel about Charlie Bird Parker, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he did. It's called Chasing the Bird. Charlie Parker in California by Dave Chisholm. Come on. Come on. Excited to talk to him. Now we have to forgive him. He's a trumpet player. But this graphic novel is the real deal. Had a nice interview with him. Had to cut it up in two parts because you know how I do it. We get to going. We're going to segue right into it. Let's talk about sex. All right. Thanks, Dave. We have Dave Chisholm here on the podcast. Podcast is Let's Talk About Sex. And Dave is a trumpeter. Let's get that out there.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I guess. Don't apologize. There's no reason to apologize. But he's a multi-talented individual, graphic artist, and he has been picked to do a new graphic novel about the one and only, and as far as I'm concerned, greatest saxophonist in the history of the world, Charlie Parker. And I'm very excited about that, Dave. That's really cool. How did that come about?
Oh, okay. Well, I've always been interested in both music and comics, and my creative and professional life has kind of like waffled back and forth between these two big areas. Mm-hmm. So I had some comic work published right before I went while I was working on my master's degree, and then while I was working on my doctorate at the Eastman School of Music here in Rochester, New York, I had this idea for like a graphic novel with a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I started working on that right after I finished my degree, like the next day, because I had this really great work ethic routine built up from my schoolwork, and I didn't really want to lose that routine. And I was pleasantly underemployed at the time, so I actually had the free time necessary to make a big comic graphic novel project like that. And when I was pitching that project around to publishers, and there's a publisher based in New York City called Z2 Comics, and Z2 picked it up, and it took a little while for it to come out. It didn't come out until 2017, even though I finished work on it in like 2013, 2014. That book came out in 2017 and actually did pretty well. It got a lot of really nice critical reception, both album.
What's the name of the book?
Oh, that one's called Instrumental. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one got both the album and the graphic novel got a fair amount of good critical reception, and kind of led to a little more professional work for me, and in that field, in the comics field. And since putting that out, Z2 Comics, the publisher, has pivoted to doing exclusively music-related graphic novels, with a specialty being like licensed graphic novels, meaning a known entity like a rock band or a jazz saxophonist estate will contact them with like an idea, like, how about we make a graphic novel about Charlie Parker's time in California, and then Z2 then like kind of looks at their through their Rolodex of like artists and writers, and kind of tries to find the best combination of talent with the idea, and then makes a pitch, and then the license holders will approve or, you know, not approve of whatever project is pitched by the creative people and the publisher.
Right.
So and I'm not sure how the ins and outs of their that side. I honestly am blissfully unaware of that. What happened is I have another comic that I was working on, this science fiction comic that I wrote and drew and everything, that's in the middle of like being released right now. It's actually more of like a traditional comic book that comes out like monthly. And I just had finished work on that, like not even a week before, this was last fall. And I got an email from Josh at Z2 that was like, you know, a really enticing, vague email. He said, "I have a dream project for you. Are you available in 2020? And I was like, what's the project? I think I am available. I would love to do some work, you know? And he said, "Oh, Charlie Parker graphic novel, more details to come." And I'm like, cool, I'm totally available. Like, I would love to do that. I would jump at the opportunity to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. After like 10 years of college studying jazz and like, you know, countless like years of gigs, professional experience gigs, and like some performances, like international performances and stuff like that. Right. And just like, this would be so incredible, like a real culminative project. All of my obsessions kind of rolled up into like one cool project. And so, you know, I kind of like wasn't sure what the scope of it was. And then I found out a little bit later that the scope was like going to be a book about Charlie Parker's time in California in the late 40s and including some events in the early 50s. And so I put together, like, I kind of figured out an armature for the story, like a basic framing device, and basically looking at the events in Charlie Parker's life at the time, and like sort of looking for like some sort of device to frame the story. So, cause I wasn't really interested in making like a documentary comic, because just my taste, I think that they can be a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be really centered around stories. And I also know that, like, just as we all know, like all of your listeners, that the Charlie Parker, part of what makes his story so interesting is this kind of like gray area between the fact and the legend around his life.
Right.
And there's so much like myth making around his life. And in a way, like so many artists who die young, his life became emblematic. Like, it became like a brand. His name became like more of a brand for like a lifestyle that sometimes wasn't super healthy and positive, in a type of jazz music. Then it almost like the Bird Lives became like a brand that was like almost more significant than the actual factual like existence of his life. Right. And so I really wanted to find an angle, like a way to frame the story that captured all of this. So I tossed around a bunch of ideas. I was like, am I going to speak directly to the myth making around Charlie Parker's life, or am I going to like try to weave it into the story? And I think the framing device that I found, the way to kind of like frame these events and stuff, works really well. Basically, the story is told by people whose life intersected with Charlie's while he was in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like six chapters, like by six chapters, each one is narrated and the story is told, like, you know, obviously like I'm writing the story, but like in the kind of like, on the pages of the book, the story is being told by like chapter one is told by Dizzy Gillespie. Chapter two is told by, Jerzy Zorthian, this bohemian artist who mm-hmm. lived in the foothills of Los Angeles. There's a chapter by the famous jazz photographer William Claxton.
Right.
And there's a chapter narrated by like John Coltrane gets a chapter.
Really?
Because I actually, when I was doing my research, I kind of stumbled across this like very serendipitous encounter where this is a crazy story. Like there were Coltrane, before he was really known, was touring with King. I can't think of the name. King.
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a, it's a, I have it in my document. It doesn't, I mean, some like relatively unknown jazz big band, right? He was touring with this person through like the Western United States, and he ended up in Southern California, and he went to a jam session at Lester Young's house.
I heard about that.
And Charlie yeah. Parker and Lester, Charlie
Lester
Parker.
Lester Young's family's house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. he, and so like I, this chapter kind of like planted a seed in my brain. I was like, well, I have to make this a chapter, because I really wanted one of the chapters to speak to like the impact of Charlie Parker on like other musicians, and not just like the general public, or kind of like all of these areas. Like, how did he impact artists? How did he impact the general public? How did he impact musicians? Like, he seems like this figure where he would like show up in people's lives for like 2 days and change their life forever.
Right.
And then disappear. And in a way that this is like a microcosm of his impact on the music scene, because he was around for such a short amount of time and he changed everything.
Yeah, he did. He changed all of music, I think. So when you... It seems like you changed the business plan for this company, Z2.
I definitely won't. I don't want to take credit for that. I think that it was the kind of cultural interplay between music and comics has always been around, and they had some other people float some ideas to them that just happened to be very close to what my idea was back in 2014. So I think it's more coincidental than I don't think that I would take credit for that. So,
but you did influence the decision. You don't have to. It just sounded like how things started to move in a certain direction, very much like Charlie Parker and Bebop, and Dizzy Gillespie was going towards the same direction, and then they meet. And then here you go. So, you know, it was like a coalesce of a lot of things,
yeah.
You know. So that's just the way it sounded from the way you you explained it.
Yeah.
So what other research, what did you use to research? I mean.
Okay. Well, I read like 5 Charlie Parker biographies, and I read as every single interview with Charlie Parker that I could find, which isn't a ton. There's
That's
not
true.
A ton of
There's
interviews
not.
With him.
Not.
And I read probably like 200 pages of Dizzy Gillespie interviews,
mm-hmm.
and about 90 pages of interviews with Jerzy Zorthian. And this was to kind of try my best to capture the voice of these narrating people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Coltrane, same deal. Listening to as many like interviews with, or not listening, but reading as many interviews with him as I could. And then like there are several like articles in like newspapers and, you know, even online about like Charlie Parker's time in California. It's funny because it's late enough in history to be documented, but it's early enough in history that it's not like that there are still like several versions of every story.
Right.
And which is great. And it allowed me to to sometimes present like different versions of the same story, which is like great. And you know, and I read some biographies, knowing that like there's probably a lot of like myth making in it, like the famous like Ross Russell biography, like knowing that like he's like there, it's pretty sensational, and not in like a, not always in a good way. Like he's sensationalizing this figure, this historical figure, but it's obvious that he like also really loves Charlie's music. So trying to find like trying to navigate this, and knowing that I'm sure there are parts in the in my book where people will people will read it, or scholars will read it and be like, oh, this isn't actually what happened. And then, or how could you possibly know that this is what happened? And my whole, the whole angle for the book is like exactly, this is like also about the myth of Charlie Parker.
Well, you
So
have
yeah.
to give it some imagination. It's a graphic novel and just a
Right, yeah.
history of the whole genre of graphic novel, you know.
Right, yeah. And so trying to like make it so that it's an in, like a like it's a like an interesting book to read. It'll be an entertaining book to read. It speaks to the legend of Charlie Parker. It speaks to the fact of Charlie Parker, and it speaks to the gray area between the two, and also like the challenge of capturing music on a media that in a meat type of media that's like spaced on sequential still images is like a huge obsession of mine.
And how do you go about that? I mean, the idea of capturing the music, what you just said, it sounded really beautiful. How do you do it?
Well, the nice the cool thing about this particular, my approach for this book, I guess, is that, or one aspect of it that I'm the most proud of is that each chapter is told with a different visual storytelling style. In the and that style reflects the point of view of the narrator, right? So the way that this photographer who's 19 years old in Southern California and is like a white dude is going to view the world is going to be different from Dizzy Gillespie at the time, and it's going to be different from this like bohemian European artist guy. And so the way each of these people kind of interpret and see Charlie Parker's music is going to be different. And it so it allowed me to like kind of flex a little bit and find lots of different ways to depict music on the page. For example, I like to imagine that Xorthian, I don't have proof of this, but this is again just me sort of playing the part of like interpreting history. I like to imagine that Xorthian maybe can like maybe has some experience like taking mute some piano lessons. So when Charlie plays, he sees notes on a staff. It's a great graphic tool. And so there's a famous saxophone, there's a famous event where Charlie played at a party at Xorthian's ranch,
Yep, I've heard about
and
that.
he played Embraceable You, and a woman started dancing, and the story goes that she took her clothes off, and then everybody took their clothes off, right? Went just because of the power of Charlie Parker's performance. And
Right.
this would be one of those events that's like, oh, that can't be true, but then it's recorded. Like there's audio of this that you can listen to that I think is going to be on the album that's like going to come out around the same time of this, you know. And
Okay.
so and you can hear people yelling like take it off and stuff like that in the background of this like of this performance of like Embraceable You. And it's and so the music that you see on the page during that part of the comic is actually a transcription of what Charlie plays on that recording. Which is kind of cool, so like people can follow along with what he's playing for this for like these, you know, 3 or 4 pages.
So how do you not how do you get not just the music but the characters onto the page to keep that story going, being that there's no dialogue. It's just the music that people will have to read in opposed to listen to.
Right. Like, yes. Right. And so that's just one instance. Like, throughout the whole, like, there's another chapter where, like, I imagine the narrator probably sees more like shapes and colors right. for music. And so I'm trying to like take specific Charlie Parker songs and solos and turn them into like these like geometric shapes that are kind of spilling out into mm-hmm. the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole, yeah, I mean, and just trying to find all these different ways like when like William Claxton talks about going his early days of going to the clubs in LA and photographing musicians, he just talks about how he found the instruments and the lighting and the way the people look playing appealing, and he just loves photographing them. And he doesn't really speak that much in the interviews and in his book and stuff like that about the actual music. So with his chapter, you don't really get a sense of visual for the music until Charlie talks to him
right.
about the music. And then it kind of like changes William Claxton's kind of whole point of view and stuff like that.
No, it's fine. It just sounds so wonderful. Just hearing you talk about your process of doing this. Did you decide that it would be his time in California? Did the estate decide?
That was part of the gig. That was decided by the estate. This is what they were looking for. Okay. And frankly, I'm very grateful that it was restricted to this, because I think trying to tell someone's entire life in a 144-page graphic novel, it's just too space restrictive. It would have been very shallow.
Right. 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 It sounds, again, it sounds remarkable. Have you been approached by anyone else? Do you any other estates to do this again? Has the Coltrane estate approached you?
No one's approached me at this point, but I think the word just got out about this book like last week. So I would be thrilled if anybody else reached out to me. I do have a good feeling about this Charlie Parker book. I think there's a good chance it'll be, well, not to be too ahead of myself, but I think the book is good. So that's the only thing I can control, is that the book is good.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see what kind of aftershocks, waves, this impact, what kind of impact it can make, and then what kind of waves turn up after that.
Well, I have to commend the estate. I have a play about Charlie Parker that I've been doing for some years, and I was introduced to the estate, and they are just doing remarkable things for Charlie Parker that didn't exist until Jean-Paul and others got a hold of the rights to make some magic happen with Charlie Parker, who was very, very magical. What did Charlie Parker mean to you before all of this happened? Because I'm sure it's different than probably before, when you were, just going about your day to day, being a musician and a graphic artist. What was he then? And then tell me about the transition of how he is in your life now.
Well, that's interesting, because, like I said, I guess I'm an academic, in addition to being like a music performer, I'm also like a huge nerd about all this stuff. And to me, like, Charlie Parker is the fountainhead of like modern jazz. But also like, so when you go to school to learn jazz music today, like, I would say, 80% of the content of the language of jazz improvisation, you can like, it like really starts with with it's like really the bebop language is what you're learning, right? Mm-hmm. And the bebop language, what kind of like, you know, its first peak was with Charlie Parker's playing, and really like without his impact, maybe it doesn't even make an impact, and we would all still be playing kind of like in a swing style, or like in a trad jazz, like New Orleans jazz style.
Yeah, I mean.
And so,
let's talk about sax. That's the first part of the interview. Next part's coming out next week. I interviewed him some months ago, so you may hear him say, I believe it came out a couple weeks ago, or they had the press release about it. But it's actually been some months now that the press release about this graphic novel about Charlie Parker came out. Again, it's called Chasing the Bird, Charlie Parker in California. Dave Chisholm is the author. It's really wonderful. Gonna finish this up next week. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jeff Jempol. Also like to thank Reactor Productions for this theme. Joe Stewart, Sound Reinforcement. My wife, Jane. My editor, Rebecca Robinson. Inspiration for this podcast, Miles Robinson. Levitate Web Solutions. Production of the podcast. Again, there's a lot of information about our various podcasts on our website, letstalkaboutsax.com. My name is Jeff Robinson. See you next week. Let's talk about sax.